The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good day. Welcome back to First Take. Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson was suspended 11 games, fined $5 million after a settlement between the NFL and NFLPA after he was accused by more than two dozen women of sexual misconduct during massage session. Watson will also pay a fine of $5 million and undergo mandatory evaluation by behavioral experts and follow their suggested treatment program. Watson's fine and contributions from both the NFL and Browns of $1 million each will create a fund to support nonprofit organizations in the United States that educate young people on healthy relationships, promote education and prevention of sexual misconduct and assault, support survivors and related causes. After saying last Friday in a Browns in-house media interview that he's truly sorry for all the women he's impacted in the situation, yesterday he met with the media, however, and maintained his innocence.
I've always stood on my innocence and always said that I've never assaulted anyone or disrespected anyone, and I'm continuing to stand on that. But at the same time, I have to continue to push forward with my life and my career. I've apologized to all women, so anybody that was affected, even yourself, everything. So I'm apologizing to everyone that was affected about this whole situation. I'm moving on with my career and my life, and I'm continuing to stand on my innocence. Just because, you know, settlements and things like that happen doesn't mean that a person is guilty for anything. I feel like a person has the opportunity to stand on his innocence and prove that, and we prove that on the legal side, and we just got to continue to push forward as an individual and as a person.
Here's a statement from the NFL. Deshaun has committed to doing the hard work on himself that is necessary for his return to the NFL. The settlement requires compliance with a professional evaluation, a treatment plan, a significant fine, and a more substantial suspension. We are grateful to Judge Robinson and Peter Harvey for their efforts in addressing these matters, which laid the foundation for reaching this conclusion. Our quarterback, Robert Griffin III, RG3, joining us now. Good morning to you, sir. Great to have your perspective. I want to start with you. Do you believe the NFL got this right?
Molly, I don't believe the NFL got it right. I think this was an opportunity for the NFL to show that it had learned from its past mistakes with not standing up for women and supporting women, whether it be what happened with Daniel Snyder and the Washington football team down there, the Commanders that they are now, or whether it be Ben Roethlisberger or other cases like them. The NFL didn't do that. They failed miserably in this moment. And I've listened to you guys talk for the past couple hours. And Stephen A., you know, I believe that the point of emphasis shouldn't be on the games. It's not about 6 games to 11 games or no fine to a $5 million fine. It's about what Sue L. Robinson ruled. So for the he said, she said crowd out there, or the he said, she said, she said, she said crowd, I understand that you are innocent until proven guilty. But when he goes to arbitration and the findings from Sue L. Robinson, those are binding. Those are now facts. And she ruled that his behavior qualified as sexual assault. She ruled that his behavior qualified as sexual misconduct and that he was a danger to those women in that room. So now the conversation shifts from, hey, it's he said, she said, we don't know exactly what happened. We weren't in those rooms, but that judge ruled that this is what happened. And to me, at a minimum, Deshaun Watson should have been suspended for a season, and that's still not a win for the NFL. But by them compromising and going to 11 games and $5 million, they're showing you that, yes, we are the National Football League, and we don't want this to draw out. This was a business decision for the NFL, and I think we are missing the point and not pointing to the facts of what the judge ruled, and also not taking into account that, yeah, Deshaun Watson looked uncomfortable in that press conference yesterday. But did he ever once think about how uncomfortable he was making those massage therapists in those rooms? I don't think he did. And I think that we're focusing way too much on the business aspect of this and not on what this man did.
Well, let me respond to that, because I respectfully disagree with you and how you just came at me. So let me respond by asking you first a question. Do you believe that Deshaun Watson should be in jail?
Deshaun Watson was not indicted by two grand juries.
That's not what I asked you.
He said that he was innocent because of that.
Hold on. Let me.
But non-indictment does not mean that you are not guilty of whatever you were accused of.
Listen, do you believe, I asked you a direct question. I ain't asking you, we all know what the information is. I'm asking you, do you believe that Deshaun Watson, maybe going to jail is maybe, all right, let me ask a more direct question. Do you believe he should have been, you know, put the criminal charges should have been placed against him?
Yeah, Stephen A., I'm not a lawyer, so I can't tell you whether or not he should have been indicted on criminal charges.
Okay,
indictment on criminal charges means that you have concrete proof.
Okay.
There wasn't enough proof to indict him. Okay. That does not mean he's not guilty.
Well, that's why I asked you a question. Because what I'm saying to you is that I don't know his guilt, the level of his guilt, and neither do you. So I have to now lean on the findings of Sue L. Robinson.
Correct.
Fair enough. So when we go to Sue L. Robinson and she comes with six games and the NFL appeals the decision and tries to get him suspended for the year, following what the Players Association negotiated with the NFL because they had a problem with Roger Goodell's power. I'm assuming when you have a problem with Roger Goodell in the NFL and you say they failed miserably, what are your feelings about the Players Association who really wanted it to be just six games? What do you say to that? Because you were a player, they represented you. How do you feel about the fact that they, the Players Association for the National Football League, wanted it limited to six games?
Yeah, I don't think the NFLPA was worried about Deshaun Watson's guilt or innocence. They were trying to support the player.
Stop right there.
Go ahead.
No, you're right. That's my point. So, in other words, the Players Association could be concerned about the collective body. But far be it for Roger Goodell and the NFL to be concerned about the collective body. So the Players Association could think about the 1,600-plus players on a football field and the fact that they got to represent those players. But when Roger Goodell sits up there and says, I got 32 owners to worry about, plus the league, plus the perception of the National Football League, plus the fact that we collectively bargained to negotiate compromising my power, plus the fact that for future cases that's going to come down the pike, I got to worry about them appealing and cases being dragged out and me being accused of being unfair to the very players I'm giving hugs to every time they get drafted and beyond. I got to worry about all of those things. And I decided to relent, even though everybody knows I wanted him suspended for the year. So Roger Goodell in the National Football League gets to get crucified for thinking about the big picture. But the Players Association, we get to sit here and say, well, they were just looking out for the players. And we weren't thinking, we get to do that?
No.
Because I asked you, and that's what you said. You said they were thinking about the players. My point is, the same level of latitude that you're willing to give to the Players Association, who only wanted the six games, you're not willing to give to a league who wanted them going for the year, but just capitulated to what power they negotiated the commissioner would have in this case because he was being accused of an abuse of power that would bring a heavier hand down on the players for years. Mm-hmm. Is anybody vibing with me when it comes to me pointing out the inconsistency? I'm not satisfied. I shouldn't say that. My point is this. I would have said a year. But I am cool with the 11 games based on all of those things that I just brought up. That's not about Stephen A. thinking about the games. That's not about Stephen A. just thinking about business. I'm taking into account the fact that my lawyer, a black woman, educated me about the legality of the situation, not just criminally, but civilly, taking into account collective bargaining negotiations, taking into account the compromising position Roger Goodell is in, taking into account the fact that the NFL Players Association has been bypassed in all of this in terms of receiving the level of cynicism and criticism they could have easily received in the business of football. I didn't even bring up the city of Cleveland and how that stadium going to be packed when Deshaun Watson comes out there on the football field and it's going to be a whole bunch of people in the stands that ain't thinking anything about this case. I ain't bring up that. So all I'm saying is when you think about those things, RG, I'm not saying you wrong, bro. I get your point. I appreciate your passion. And your passion should be shared by all of us. This is not to say that you're wrong in any way, other than pointing out
how other folks might look at it a little bit differently because we understand the reality of the situation that was negotiated, regardless of what we may lament.
Yeah, and Stephen,
Doggies, the floor is yours.
The reality of the situation is that the NFL made a business decision. You know why the NFLPA isn't getting crucified like the NFL is? Is because the NFLPA was the lawyer of the guy that has been accused of everything. No one ever points to that guy. If a guy goes and commits a crime and he gets off because his lawyer is really good, no one's mad at the lawyer. They're mad at the guy that committed the crime. So the NFLPA is absolved in all of it because it doesn't matter what they're doing. But the NFL. Go ahead.
Rustin Harden, the lawyer. That's Deshaun Watson, right? Does Rusty Harden work for the NFL Players Association?
Nobody said that, but the NFLPA's responsibility is to the player. So if their responsibility is to the player and they're helping the player in those arbitrations along with Harden, their job is to protect the player. That's all they're trying to do. But once again, Stephen A., you're taking the conversation away from where it needs to be. The conversation needs to be on Deshaun Watson's conduct. The NFL, yes, made a great business decision. They made a great business decision. But what they didn't do was take the opportunity to stand up and support women. Look, the Houston Texans themselves settled with 30 different women. And in their statement, they said, this is not an admission of any wrongdoing on our behalf, but we are saying that we stand against any form of sexual misconduct, any form of sexual assault.
So the NFL saying we wanted a year.
That's PR, Stephen A. You know that?
They wanted a
come
year.
Come on.
They wanted a year.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely.
Come on. Listen, man.
If you don't think they wanted a year.
A simple question. And I'll give it to you, Doggy. I want to answer to this last question. Based on the history of Roger Goodell, I'm going to give it to you. Based on the history of Roger Goodell, if Roger Goodell did not have to throw the case to an appellate judge on an appeal, and Roger Goodell did not have to relent or capitulate in any way to the Players Association, do you believe that Roger Goodell would have suspended Deshaun Watson this year? I do.
This situation is unprecedented. We have never seen a situation like this before. Roger Goodell could have said, you know what, I'm suspending him for a season. You know why he didn't do that? Because he didn't want that on him. He put it on another judge.
RJ, he's got a CBA he's got to follow. The CBA says there is a judge who decides what the punishment is. And then he has a right to appeal. He had to follow the CBA process.
He appealed it.
Wait, hold on.
After the appeal, he can take the suspension and make the decision, guys.
No, he can't. No, he can't. Harvey makes the decision. No, he can't do that.
Let me speak for a second. He absolutely can.
Thank you.
Okay? He absolutely can. Robert Griffin III is right. I did plenty of research on this subject. Yes, he absolutely could have said, after this whole process went out, Roger Goodell could have said, no, it's going to be a year. He still has that power. Could there have been backlash from
people? That's the point.
Absolutely.
There would have been a lawsuit. There would have been people screaming about it.
Let me give you this thought
experiment.
What if he really put the hammer down on this instance, right? And there's all the backlash, all this and this. But you did what's right in this instance. And then we don't have to deal with this moving forward because now you have the proper precedent.
It's about
what's right than what he says and she says and the public cries. Because there's going to be public cries because many believe, like myself, that this wasn't handled properly and it should have been a year.
Let me ask you a question.
Of course.
Especially RJ, why didn't Sue Robinson give him a year? She's a federal judge.
Yes,
she
you guys had brought
games.
That up earlier, and Molly already countered that
six
point.
Six games? She could have given him a
Sue
year.
Sue L. Robinson couldn't give him more than six games.
Well, yeah, she could have done anything. Why? Because of precedent?
Because of precedent. She said, and hey, did you
she
read her ruling? Because I did. I read her ruling. She ruled that he could not get more than six games because she felt the NFL was trying to make up for its past mistakes.
So pointing that a woman or Sue L. Robinson only gave him six games
is not warranting of what she's saying he did.
Hold on. You might be right. I might be wrong. But my understanding is that even though she made the decision based on precedent,
yeah. she could have set new precedent. She sure could have.
She could have set new precedent, but in her ruling, she stated that she didn't because felt the NFL was trying to make a forced family
mistake. Wait. I think our ire is in the wrong direction here. It shouldn't be at Sue L. Robinson. It should be about the personal conduct policy and the issues with that. That there's a hard, fast rule for PEDs and for gambling, but not sexual assault and violence against women. So
Molly, why can't we have both? Why can't you be, hold on, let me finish.
Yeah.
Why can't you be right, but we're right too?
No.
From this perspective, yes, the conduct policy needs to be modified. You've said that you're absolutely 1,000% on the money. But why can't we still look at the original ruling handed down by Sue L. Robinson and say she should have set precedent.
Do you want to know the true reason why I feel that way? Because we only have so much time on the show, and you're absolutely right. I wish Sue L. Robinson, as a woman, I wish she set precedent and took that opportunity, but we only have so much time, and I don't want to focus on Sue L. Robinson.
Okay.
I want to focus on the personal conduct policy because I want to deter this predatory behavior moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why my focus was there.
I want to make sure the audience understands what I disagree with RG. RG's right on the money with most of the stuff that he's saying. Bro, you and I are debating. This is a debate show. I get where you're coming from. I appreciate the passion. I totally get it. I understand it. And I don't disagree with you theoretically. I'm just saying from a practical perspective, because of all the things that we have that we know Roger Goodell took into consideration.
Correct.
Let's not act like we're oblivious as to why he reached this conclusion.
Yep.
That's where you and I disagree. I don't want the audience thinking we disagree about anything else, because I'm with you on that.
Right.
The point that I'm making is we have to understand he had to take a whole bunch of things into consideration. This wasn't just about Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
You're saying it should have been.
Yeah.
I'm saying we knew, we always knew it wouldn't be. We always knew it wouldn't be. That's all I'm saying.
But he had the opportunity to do what's right. We have 60 seconds. RG3, I want to give you the final
word,
please.
Yeah.
If you want to just reiterate one more time your take on this, how you wish this was handled.
I believe that for the NFL, they made the best business decision for themselves. But this was an opportunity for them to stand up for women and say, you know what? We don't care if this drags out, because this is our opportunity to say, women, we support you. We support you, and we understand that his behavior, as ruled by Judge Sue L. Robinson, qualified as sexual assault, qualified as sexual misconduct. And we're not just going to go for a year. We might even go for longer than that. We're not going to go for a $5 million fine. We might even go for longer than that, because there's no amount of games and no fine money that you can put on the feelings that these women have. And when I listened to his apology, Deshaun Watson wasn't apologizing for his behavior. He was apologizing for how his behavior made you feel. And we've all had somebody in our lives like that. And that's why I think he has no remorse and he has no contrition for what has happened. And I just want to pour out my heart for the women out there who have been affected, because as a father of 3 daughters, soon to be 4, I would never want my daughters to be exposed to any type of treatment, especially that type of treatment from a star player in one of the biggest leagues in the world.
And RG3, I just want to say Monday Night Countdown's lucky to have you. You are tremendous. And as a woman, I appreciate you standing for us, with us, all of that, and going out on a limb here. Exceptional, exceptional job. So I'm told last week we had Jamie Foxx impersonating Stephen A. And now we have Keyshawn doing a little Mad Dog Russo.
What?
And I have not seen this, so I'm excited.
No, I've heard before. Let's
take a listen.
Oh, Lord.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's no way I would draft LeBron James. Why would I ever take LeBron James? Why would I do that? Well, the one thing they got to do is they got the bats. They got to hit the bats. You can't score any runs. How are you going to win any games? It's not the pitching. No, it's not the pitching and the bats. They can't. How do you expect Aaron Judge to just lead the team all the way? You can't do it. You can't just win with him.
Pretty good.
That was pretty good.
Quick, fast.
It was pretty
topic
good.
Topic to topic. Not bad, Stevie.
Not bad. I was saying, Keyshawn, there's no way in hell. But it wasn't far off.
Doggy, it wasn't bad.
Doggy
was
sounds
impressive.
A little like that.
That wasn't far off at all. I'm impressed.
No, especially
on the radio.
You on the radio.
Did
I know you don't like to hear me saying this, but I grew up listening to you on the radio.
Oh, God. I'm not that old.
Listen, please. I had an intern here the other day saying to me, I grew up watching you on First Take, so I know how that sort of feels, that same kind of thing.
An intern's
but
a little
but
younger.
But the yelling, the whole, though, that's you. That's kind of what
that's
you
who?
Do. That's you. That
hopefully
you go on these rants.
Not too antagonistic. Not too antagonistic.
A little antagonistic. A
little bit, but there's an edge. You don't want to go past.
No.
Right, Stevie?
I'm
an edge, you don't want to go past.
No. Never want to go past the edge, but, you know. It's
don't
all
be nasty.
Listen, I'm a little edgy.
It's all right to touch the third row. Well, you edgy today, Orange Crush. I love how you tried to imitate the outfit from Monday. I like that. That just shows
I was wearing the right thing Monday.
Wait.
That's what that shows.
Our producers hate us so much today right now because we've just taken over the show, but yes. I need to say one thing. You, Monday, you had a loud color with other loud colors. This is monochromatic.
I had an orange blazer with a white shirt.
Awful.
What are you talking about?
Awful. Oh, please. You look like Orange Sherbert. That was awful.
He just got right on my side for the first time today.
On a boat like McHale's Navy. Enough already. Please.
I didn't see the boat. I didn't know about all
of that. Stephen A., this is the last count. Actually, that day, Michael was the best dressed, better than both of us.
No,
it just looks like you're ready for an ACC press conference.
I just borrowed the glasses for the cold open, but the fact that you just said Michael Irvin dressed better than me.
He had all white, and then clearly blind.
It's all right.
The pants are awful. Those are lousy pants.
Okay.
Guys, do you
look better today.
Do you hear Nick in our ear?
He's talking to you.
All right, let's talk about LeBron. So LeBron James has agreed to a 2-year, $97.1 million contract extension. That includes a player option for the 2024-2025 season. Clutch Sports CEO Rich Paul told ESPN on Wednesday the extension, which includes a 15% trade kicker, makes James the highest earning player in NBA history with a $532 million in career guaranteed money, surpassing Brooklyn Nets superstar Kevin Durant. Christopher, should LeBron have taken, you know what, I'm calling you Christopher a lot today, and I think it's because it's been a very serious show.
You're in a serious mood, so it's not Mad Dog, it's Christopher.
Now I can switch to Mad Dog. Should LeBron have taken less here for the greater good?
I mean, Rich Paul's going to pat himself on the back because LeBron James has made more money in his career than Kevin Durant. Who in America cares? I mean, geez, how about winning some championships? I don't know.
He's got four.
Fairly. How did he do last year? He's got four. He didn't make the playoffs.
He's got four.
Yeah, well, he didn't make the playoffs. He also joined Wade and Bosch in Miami to get a couple. Take it easy. I know how great he is. Don't get me wrong. But, I mean, we're going to sit there and we're going to take fouls because he's made more than Kevin Durant? Who in America cares? That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. Here's what LeBron should have done. He should have gone to the ownership and said, listen, I've been paid $1 billion. We last year were awful. You do what you have to do to make our team better and make us a better basketball team, and then I'll pick up the crumbs after that. I have made $1 billion. I don't need any more money. For LeBron to make $97 million for 2 years and then basically take bows that now he's the highest paid guaranteed player in the history of the NBA, that is a terrible look. Nobody wants to see that because it's about championships. His legacy, Stephen A., is not going to be how much money he makes when his career is over. His legacy is going to be where is he in the top 10 in the history of the NBA and how many championships does he win? Don't give me that. I mean, that's the legacy. Is he going to have a statue outside of that state, out of the arena? Right now, he doesn't have that. But he's made $535 million in guaranteed money. Pipe down. Nobody wants to hear that nonsense.
Okay.
And now you're going to try to support him?
I totally am.
Oh, you're crazy.
First of all, a couple of things.
You're crazy.
I like this move. Like
LeBron James is not getting a statue outside of the Staples
Center. Well, if he wanted another one, he would.
No, you got to be there for a while. You got to be there for a while. You can't just get statues outside of the Staples Center. You didn't put in the time Magic and Kareem and Kobe and them put in as a Laker in the purple and gold. No.
What if he gets three rings?
Excuse me?
What if he gets three rings
with the Lakers? Well, that ain't going to happen.
But what if he did? Would you consider the statue?
I'd reconsider, but I sincerely doubt it. Okay, that's not going to happen. That's number one. But having said all of that, first of all, in terms of where he's going to be at, I'll tell you where he's easily going to be. LeBron James is the top three player in the history of basketball. Top.
No, he's not.
Three.
No, he's not.
Hold on. Hold on. LeBron James is not top three in the history of basketball?
Better than Kareem.
Excuse me. I said top three. Kareem, Jordan, and LeBron.
No, Kareem.
Kareem, Jordan, and LeBron.
Russell.
The 11 championships in 13 years. But I'm saying Russell was a great champion. Russell was a great champion, but he was not the player that LeBron James is. LeBron James is top three talent in the history of basketball. Top three player in the history of basketball.
Talent or player? Which one is it?
Both. Top three all time.
Wrong.
Oh, my God.
I've got to do this with you 1,000 times.
LeBron James is not top five all the time.
Well, hold it now. He's not better than Kareem. He's not better than Jordan. And Russell's won 11 in 13 years.
Excuse me. Kareem, the resume is impeccable. 19-time All-Star, 6-time champion, 6-time MVP, all-time leading scorer.
That's not fair.
Listen. I get that. But, again, when I'm thinking about centers and needing guards to get you the ball, but that's a different subject for another day. You want to debate is between LeBron and Kareem is 2 and 3. But there's no question that LeBron James, at the worst, is a top three player in the history of basketball since the game was invented. I don't want to hear that. It's just blasphemous.
Let me finish.
Let you finish. I'll let you talk. You actually
tell
me. I'm going
to give you the two guys that I take over LeBron in a big game.
Go ahead.
Magic and Bird. So I make them fifth.
Time out.
Jeez.
I've told you. Last time I checked, the game's 48 minutes per game. I take LeBron James for 46 of those minutes ahead of anybody in the world, okay? Michael Jordan, with the exception of Michael Jordan, that's number one. Bird with a clutch shot because he was a better shooter and obviously more reliable from the free throw line. Magic Johnson, the leader that he was, the point guard that he was, et cetera, et cetera. I understand the
game
greatness.
Larry Bird or LeBron? One game for your life.
Well, if you ask me for the game, I'm taking LeBron. You ask me for the last shot, I take Bird. The last shot.
You take LeBron and then get knocked off because he misses six shots at the end?
Come on, man. LeBron James. Listen, I am critical of LeBron James. I am critical of LeBron James. And I'm telling you right now, the man is a top three player in the history of basketball, number one. Number two, he's grossly underpaid. He has, from an average per year salary throughout his career, there's several players that are higher than him. LeBron James in Los Angeles, okay, $97 million over the next 2 years is a bargain. He is box office. He just finished averaging 30 a game. He is still a sensational basketball player. And on top of it all, the flexibility that you, because you wasn't going to get anybody this next summer anyway, okay? So the bottom line is this. 2 years from now, when you've got some flexibility, all right, because you'll have money coming off your cap. Actually, next summer, when Russell Westbrook's $47 million comes off the cap, they'll be able to do some things. The reality is this. When you look at what he brings to the table and the fact that he is box office, everybody ain't box office. Everybody doesn't pay for themselves. LeBron James does. He is underpaid. He deserves more money. And the fact that he signed for just $97 million, the loss, especially with the cap kicking it because the new TV money's coming up and the cap is only going to elevate, which makes his number obviously not as daunting as people think. You take all of those things into consideration, combined with his greatness, combined with the fact that he is box office, there is no question that he deserves this money and more. He's one of the top three players in the history of basketball.
You're way too much into this capitalist scenario. Who cares? He's taking vows because he's made more money guaranteed.
He's not taking vows.
Or the agent is. Who cares?
I don't recall Rich Paul taking a bow. I don't recall LeBron James taking a bow. He just signed his deal and he's minding his business, chilling somewhere, getting ready for the season. And oh, by the way, approaching his 20th season, he's still in better shape and better prepared than 99% of the damn league. You show some respect.
Okay, I criticize LeBron James from time to time. And even I have to sit here and say, this is blasphemous. This is one of the greatest players ever who is underpaid.
You put him top three. I disagree.
Top three. Top three.
I think it's debatable. It's debatable.
Not anybody that knows basketball. Not anybody that knows basketball.
You don't think I know basketball?
Evidently not. Not right now. Not right now. Not right now. You got amnesia. You got amnesia.
Here is the problem. You think that 50 million, who cares how much he makes?
The blasphemy.
I would just like everyone at home.
You go to church and you pray for forgiveness for that damn comment you made.
Don't pray for forgiveness. Pray for me that I have to listen to both of you.
That's a good point.
Seriously. You guys should buy me lunch, whatever I want.
All right, Orange Crush. You want lunch?
Yeah, both of you should buy me lunch.
She wants Mr. Dibs next door. Get Mr. Dibs. She wants burgers. She wants burgers.
I want the cheeseburger and the waffle fries. Banging.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com. Meanwhile, Stephen A., can you remind our viewers how they can get a copy of your book?
Yes, thank you, Molly. My memoir, Straight Shooter, will be available on January 17th, 2023. But autographed copies of my book are available for pre-order right now. I'll be signing these books. You can visit straightshooterbook.com. That's straightshooterbook.com to order your autographed copy today. In the book, I talk about my life before ESPN, growing up in Queens, New York. I struggled in school and was left back, but sports proved to be my salvation. I talk about some of the mistakes I've made in my life and my impact on the world of sports. So you know I'll mention those Dallas Cowboys. The book is called Straight Shooter, and it's written to motivate you to overcome the odds stacked against you in order to reach your dreams. Straight Shooter is in the It's the perfect book for lovers of sports, television, and anyone who needs extra career motivation. Again, I am making available today an autographed copy of my book, Straight Shooter, that I'll be signing. It's available for pre-order right now. You can visit straightshooterbook.com to order your autographed copy today. Please don't wait. And thank you both. Thank you both.
Love it. And I will be expecting a signed copy.
Yeah, of course he would. He had me on the show yesterday and was kind enough to promote my book on Mad
Dog
Sports
Radio. I love the
guy.
How could I not do that?
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Well, you're like a couple time New York Times bestseller.
Well, that's what I want to see. Yeah. Let's see if you can beat me. New York Times bestseller.
I will tell you.
Can you get on a New York Times bestseller's list?
I'm unapologetic about it. I'm all about trying to win. My goal, I always said, I never really wanted to write a book. Mm-hmm. It took years. People were pressing me to write it and just to tell some elements of my story because they felt that it could be motivational. And I promised my mother I would never do it until she passed away. And that she gave me her blessing, obviously, before she passed away. But I will tell you, when I decided to write a book, I got one goal and one goal in mind: to be a number one New York Times bestseller. If I'm going to do it, I'm swinging for the
15
fence.
Is not good enough. It's got to be one.
I want to be number one. Number one New York Times bestseller. That is my
goal. That's an impressive, let's see him do it.
That's my goal.
I'm more than a week.
What number's my chapter, a longest standing partner in television?
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Did you miss me?
It's been three seasons since Lamar Jackson stunted on the NFL and won MVP since then. The Ravens have been a bit lackluster, though last year could be attributed to an abundance of injuries, including Action Jackson being banged up as well. Some say Jackson isn't a great passer, while many have put blame on offensive coordinator Greg Roman for not fully putting Lamar in scenarios for success with his skill set. Still, Roman is there as the quarterback, goes into his last season of his rookie contract. That takes us to Stephen A's number six on his top NFL story. Lines heading into the season. Will Lamar and Baltimore make a deep playoff run? Hall of Fame quarterback Steve Young had a lot to say about Lamar and the Ravens last night on Monday Night Countdown. Take a listen.
Why isn't he getting paid to be Patrick Mahomes? Because they haven't given him a chance to be Patrick Mahomes. So until they do, Lamar Jackson's damned because of what the Ravens are doing, not because of Lamar Jackson. I can't wait for someone to train Lamar Jackson in a sophisticated passing game. I think he'd be the greatest player in the history of the game. He's being held back by the Ravens. I want the full measure of who Lamar Jackson is. And the full measure is not being brought forward by the Ravens. And if that's not the case, then get out and find someone who will.
All right, let's bring in our quarterback, Robert Griffin III. RG3, are the Ravens holding Lamar back?
Molly, I disagree that the Ravens as a whole organization are holding Lamar Jackson back. I was there for 3 years in that locker room, in that building, and saw how much energy they poured into Lamar Jackson and how much he was receptive of the things that they were trying to get him to do. Whether it was the advanced technology that they used to find deficiencies in his mechanics or bringing in specialized throwing coaches to help him develop more as a passer. And he has shown that he can do that. In 2019, he led the league in touchdown passes with 36 of them. So I don't think it's the Baltimore Ravens as a whole, and I know Ravens fans are going to rejoice after this. It's Greg Roman. Greg Roman's system is a run-first system, and he builds that system not only to Lamar's strengths, but also to Greg Roman's strengths as a sophisticated run-game orchestrator, and also what the Ravens have at their disposal. So I agree that Lamar Jackson could be the greatest player to ever play the game if he had Patrick Mahomes' weapons, if he had Justin Herbert's weapons, but he doesn't have those guys, and the Ravens are going back to their 2019 recipe when they're 14-2 of bully ball, three tight end sets, run the ball a lot and allow Lamar to throw high percentage passing plays. So from that regard, it's not the Ravens. It's Greg Roman and his system, and no high-priced free agent wants to go play in a run-first system with Greg Roman. So if they want to get past and allow Lamar to continue to develop, then they got to figure out a way to bring in new personnel, and that might start with replacing the coordinator.
Yeah, I completely disagree. You don't teach somebody how to be accurate when you nobody taught Dan Marino how to be accurate. Nobody's a better thrower of the football than Marino. Nobody in the history of the league. And nobody. Who is his offensive coordinator? Nobody even knows.
Before you continue.
Yeah, go ahead.
He did have Mark Super Duper and Mark.
They're not Hall of Famers there, Steve.
But to throw the football.
You know why they were good?
Do you remember how they played?
You know why? Because he had Marino throwing him the football. That's why.
Okay.
That Duper and Clayton are not in the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Let's not forget that. He is not.
Maybe they should be. Marino,
here is the problem with Lamar. And we all know he's great. He gives you a tremendous dimension, everything else. He is not a great pocket quarterback. He's bad in postseason play. Look at the quarterback ratings. Look at the games. Go watch. And he is not accurate where he's going to throw balls on dimes with big players. And so Steve Young, who I love, saying, well, you know what? It's Harbaugh's fault, or it's Greg Roman's fault. Harbaugh's going to the Hall of Fame. I mean, the Ravens took him late in the first round, and they built an offense around him because what does he do best? His elusive ability, his running ability. That's what Lamar does best. He is a wonderful running quarterback who gets by with his throwing. That's what he is. You know, to make it sound like now we're going to make him Marino and won't have him run, that's crazy. He is great because he's an unbelievable runner with the football. He is not a great thrower. He hasn't been in his whole career. You're not going to teach somebody how to be a great thrower. Go ask the Giants with Dave Brown. They made him a number one pick. They all thought he was going to be a great thrower because of Spurrier. He could never throw the ball. You cannot teach somebody how to be accurate throwing the football. And he is not.
I am not going to sit here and pretend as if I did not say the same things about Lamar Jackson at times. I don't believe his strength is throwing the football. I believe he can throw. I believe he does have a lot of moments more often than not when he is accurate with the football, and I don't think that he's appreciated for the level of accuracy that he does execute on a lot of occasions. But there are times where I've seen him throw the football and I didn't confuse him with the Marinos or the Dan Fouts of the worlds and, you know, obviously the Montanas and Mahomes and Rodgers and Brady and all of that stuff. Fair enough, okay? But I got to tell you something. I love me some Steve Young. That's my buddy right there. I mean, I'm not so sold on Salt Lake City. That's a different discussion for another day, even though it does look pretty. But I love me some Steve Young, all right? And it's very hard for me to disagree with what he has said. RG3, I'll come back to you and say this to you. When I heard Steve Young say that, that was an incredible indictment against John Harbaugh. Oh. That's what I'm like. He's talking about the usage and the GM for the Baltimore Ravens, in all fairness. He's talking about the usage of Lamar Jackson and the personnel he has around him. Bateman can play some guy, Devin Duvernay. Not Ava Duvernay, Devin Duvernay, okay? We got all that. Got Mark Andrews. You got J.K. Dobbins. I get it. But he's talking about the personnel, and he's indicting the Baltimore Ravens organization for not having the personnel or not utilizing them effectively. RG3, there's no accuracy to that?
I don't think there's accuracy to it. It's an indictment on John Harbaugh. John Harbaugh's a great coach. I think
I
it's
agree.
More. It's,
I'm
it's
talking
an
about
indictment.
What Steve Young said.
The strength of their team starts at the quarterback position with Lamar Jackson, and then it goes to the running backs, and then the tight end with Mark Andrews. So you can only do as much as the personnel that you have allows you to do. So when you talk about Dan Marino and the players that he had, or Patrick Mahomes and the guys that he's had over his career, or Justin Herbert, Lamar doesn't have those guys.
So you don't think Steve Young was talking about John Harbaugh at all?
I think that Steve Young was making a statement, but not taking into account that in order to get guys around Lamar Jackson, those guys have to want to come play in that offensive system. And those guys don't want to come play in that offensive system. So they tried to draft, right? Marquise Hollywood Brown wanted out of Baltimore, and his best friend is Lamar Jackson. He didn't want to leave because of Lamar. He left because of Greg Roman. The Ravens are a run-first team. It's really hard to get receivers to buy into that and say, hey, I want to come be a part of that, when they know Lamar's going to be the leading rusher. They're going to run it more than they throw it, more than any other team in the league over the last 3 years.
Interesting point, because he hasn't had the talent around him, so I didn't...
Well, the reason he hasn't had the talent around him, because the quarterback's best attribute is running. Not throwing.
RG3 also just talked about that as a system, and he played the position.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Okay, we've covered the gamut today, but we'll close things out quickly here, guys. By discussing Deshaun Watson receiving 11 games as punishment from the NFL. Your final thoughts here, Mad Dog.
Well, I'm going to take it to the Browns for a second?
Yeah,
and
like
go to football? They are not going to make the playoffs. They'll be no better than 4-7 with Brissett. They will not get after Garoppolo. Browns season is amputated. They're done based on this.
My message is this. The NFL is a multi-billion dollar conglomerate. They've got a bottom line to protect. If you are players, take this to note. You know what? Everything's going to be under a microscope. Everything is going to be watched. Businesses are not going to let you compromise their brand. You better get, you better act right, you better stay on the ball, and you better behave yourself, or else.
Absolutely. We'll be back on Monday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern. Don't miss it. And don't forget, we'll be in Dallas next week. That is on Thursday, so circle your calendars for that. Mad Dog, great to have you. Stephen A., have a fabulous weekend. I'll see you all on Monday.